Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we are so honored to have the gift of prayer, to have the invitation of you, from you, to come boldly against the evil one in a sense, but to come boldly with an open heart to you at any time. And Lord, even just thinking of the kings of the olden days, you couldn't even approach them without getting your head chopped off unless they lifted the scepter to you. What a king you are.
Yes.
Not threatening any of us, but just loving us. Lord, forgive us for being so obstinate and so far from you at times, so rebellious, and may we just surrender, and may we pray with an earnest heart this morning as we have this opportunity to gather once again. Lead us now by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, again, the same old theme. We have a great prayer today.
The best.
And if I say that 100,000 times in the Bible, it's still true, right? So turn in the book of Habakkuk or Chabakuk, however you would like to say it. If you can even spell it, you're doing well. But near the end of the Old Testament, HZHZ, I can always remember the books there, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. So we have this prayer of Habakkuk. It's a prayer on Shigonoth, and if you want to get a good variety of what Shigonoth means, just look at about 10 commentators, and you'll get about 10 different definitions, because nobody knows. But it probably means a song with great emotion, and that's what Habakkuk's prayer is, I think, a prayer of great emotion, and great emotional switches from high to low. And the word Shigonoth, the root of it, has a meaning of being erratic, of up and down and up and down. And this prayer request, Habakkuk is kind of like that. Now, as you know, the book of Habakkuk, just a brief summary of it, Habakkuk begins with asking how and why, or how long and why, God. How many of you are asking God how long and why? Well, you'll find that's not really the best question to ask. But we all ask. And what do we want? We want answers. But the book of Habakkuk shows us, among others in the Bible, that answers never will bring you peace. Never will bring you peace. The only peace is trusting him, because he says then in chapter 2 to Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. You shall live by faith. It's not you might. It's you shall live by faith, which means what? You're going to be in situations after situations in this life here on earth where you have no way out, where there's no hope, where it's just a mess, where you say, no, Lord, there's no way out of this. The just shall live by faith. So you turn it over to the Lord and you rest in him. So Habakkuk begins by saying, Lord, Judah is wicked. How long are you going to allow this wickedness to continue? Well, God answers him. It's amazing in sometimes in the Bible how God answers. I mean, you know, like whether it's a donkey or whatever, God answers, right? And so Habakkuk says, how long? And God says, I'm going to do a work. I am actually doing a work, and he's doing that right now in all of our lives. So he's doing a work. If we understood it, we wouldn't even be able to comprehend it. And so Habakkuk basically says, well, even if you tell me, you know, I can probably handle it or whatever. Anyway, God, for whatever reason, tells him what he's going to do. He's going to take this wicked, wicked, wicked Babylon and use them to come in and crush, annihilate, for the most part, Judah. Now what does Habakkuk say? Lord, the solution to the problem is much worse than the problem. I don't like it. I'm going to go up in the tower and pout. But he does conclude there in chapter 2, and I will wait on the Lord, and then I will listen for his correction. So he knows he's out of line a little bit when you say, Lord, I don't like what you're telling me. So he goes and he gets away. Come on in, please. he goes and gets away and waits in the tower. Come on in, have a seat if you would. Somebody give her notes. Are you getting notes there, Bryce? Okay. So he goes and waits on the tower, and he goes full cycle then basically from being really mad at God to really humbling himself before the Lord. The Lord says, write a vision, get a tablet, write it out. And he gives him that great statement, the wicked shall perish, but the just shall live by faith. Now that just shall live by faith is shown to us three different times in the New Testament, but it's a little different connotation there. In the New Testament, it's that we are saved by faith. But in the Old Testament here, I don't think it's really talking about salvation so much as it is by living by faith. Living by faith. And so, and then in chapter 3, he goes full circle and he prays. And what a prayer this is. 19 verses of prayer. This is a long prayer recorded. And he begins by, he says, I've heard your voice and I'm afraid. I'm afraid for Judah. I know they deserve it. I know we deserve to be wiped out, but I'm afraid. And then he says, but revive our work, Lord, and in wrath, remember mercy.
Yeah.
That's a good prayer for us today in the United States, in this world today. Yeah. We're in the end times. Judgment is coming. Yeah. We know that. We deserve it. And the whole world is going to be judged. We know that. But we could also say, revive us. And we could say, in your wrath, remember mercy. Right? I think that's a good prayer for us. Now, could you close those doors, Jim?
Can you come there?
Well, now Habakkuk does something that I don't do nearly enough in prayer. He spends verses 3 through 15, that's 13 verses, he praises the Lord for his faithfulness. Now, when you're trembling in recognizing what's going to happen to the United States, you did get here on time, Linda. You can't get in. We got some new rules around here.
Their exit was closed. Fairview exit was closed. Harvard was closed. You can't get off on any of those exits this morning. I had to pay for you.
You got here on time.
Well, I know.
Okay, let's move on. That was supposed to be a joke. Actually, these doors were open, but then when the blowers come up, it's so noisy we can't hear anything. So Habakkuk now, in verse 3, he's trembling and he's upset with the Lord first, but now he understands what's coming and he's saying, yes, you are God and I'm not. But notice, he goes into 13 verses here of praising the Lord for his faithfulness. And how important that is, because when God says, you shall live by faith in me, it's not some blind faith that, well, God's never done anything right yet, but maybe he will, so I should trust in him and maybe he'll get it right next time. No. Habakkuk goes all the way back to the beginning and shows the faithfulness of God for Israel, and then he shows the faithfulness of God in his life. And so when you pray, remember Habakkuk's prayer in this regard. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness to you. I mean, how often do we say, oh, Lord, oh, this is terrible. This is just so bad. I can't believe it. And you call your friends and say, pray for me. I'm really going through it. It's never been so bad. Blah, blah, blah. And I know how you feel, and I know that's true. However, it's so easy to forget all of his blessings and all of his promises in the future just because of this thorn that you got sticking in you today, right? And so Habakkuk is now going to praise the Lord. He says, you came from Teman, from Mount Paran, that's in near Mount Hor, Horeb, Sinai, with the law. You say, your glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of your praise. Brightness was like the light, rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. This is all the way back to creation. Stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. That was, of course, in the days of the judges primarily there. O Lord, you were displeased with the rivers. Was your anger against the rivers? Of course, he stopped them up when he needed to. Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, the chariots of salvation? The bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over by your arrows, probably referring to Pharaoh's destruction there as well, and ongoing here. You divided the earth with rivers, its mountains you saw and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. Remember the long day of Joshua. In the light of your arrows they went, and at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger, King Og of Bashan, and so forth. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You know, though, if you look at the historical aspects of King Og and Bashan, the reason that was such a startling victory, probably even more so than Jericho in a sense, because Bashan was considered to be totally unconquerable. They had so much of a stronghold, and they were so strong that there were no known forces in those days that could conquer it. So what did God do? He let them rest in their strength, right? And they heard Israel was coming, but they didn't even go. They didn't even get an army together to meet them. They said, you can't conquer us. We're too strong. And so basically, Israel was able to come almost right on into the city because the gates weren't even closed, kind of a thing. And they came in, and God just annihilated them. And then everybody said, wow, if this group of people can take down Og, they can take down us because we're not nearly as strong as him. So God is just so great. But he's mentioning it here. You went forth for the salvation of your people. The salvation of your anointed, you struck the head of the house by laying bare from the foundation. Two neck, you thrust through with his arrows the heads of his villages. They came like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses through the heap of great waters. So Habakkuk here is praising God for his faithfulness. And that's what I think he wants us to remember as well when he's asking us to trust him. Well, that's our peace, right? Our only peace is trusting him. It's not that we're taking a big chance and, oh, wow, this is really going out on a limb. We're getting to the point of where we should be in the first place. So he now gets to verse 16, and notice how the solemnity of this whole situation hits him. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones. It was just like I was dead when I'm thinking about what's going to happen to Judah. I tremble in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble when he comes to the people. He will invade them with his troops. So notice a complete surrender here. And he is broken. He's not saying, Lord, don't do it because we don't deserve it. No. He's all in favor of what the Lord is going to do here. And it's just shaking him to his very bones, really. But now notice his response. And this is so, so important. The situation is hopeless. The situation is bleak. Babylon is coming. They're going to totally destroy Judah. And what does Habakkuk say? Though the fig tree may not blossom, no food, nor fruit beyond the vines, no drink. Though the labor of the olive tree may fail, no oil, and the fields yield no fruit or no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. I tell you, that's pretty bleak.
Yeah.
That's pretty bleak. There's nothing that you can look at that gives you any hope. Just coming destruction, coming judgment of God. Now, verse 18, a great big word there, Y-E-T. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Key verse. We know rejoice means what? Joy, right? And then the word joy itself, I will joy in the God of my salvation. That means to spin around. So he's got such joy because of what his faith in God and what God is so good. He's jumping up and down in joy. Now, when you have the worst day ever in your life, can you imagine yourself jumping up and down like that in joy? And your worst day in your life is much better than Habakkuk's day here, where he gets the word that all of Judah is going to be destroyed because of their sin and wickedness. So it's just a great, great prayer. And then in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, an affirmation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. In other words, so totally secure. He will make me walk on my high hills. No danger, no matter how high up you get or whatever. He will guide your feet. And that's the end of the prayer. That's the end of the prayer. So just notice the joy there. So I was just thinking, children's nursery song here. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Do you have that joy in your heart today? Not just we want the simple joy of the child, and yet we want that profound joy of Habakkuk, knowing what's happening and knowing the destruction and death that's coming to those who don't know the Lord, but knowing his faithfulness in protecting those who are his. So let's just sing along with this. Joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to say. And I'm so happy, so unhappy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Let the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. So happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Love of Jesus in my heart.
Amen.
All right. You got it? In your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Father, we thank you, and we can just see the little ones singing that with such glee and joy. And the Lord, as we picture Habakkuk here, really jumping up and spinning around in joy because of who you are, what you've done in the past, and what you will do in the present and in the future. Lord, Habakkuk prayed for revival. He prayed, Lord, that you would have mercy in your wrath. And Lord, we see all of this coming down now on the world and certainly on this country, and just in a sense, bad news wherever we look. And yet, Lord, may we not look at the bad news. And maybe even in our personal lives today, Lord, we may have bad news, but Lord, not really in terms of eternal things, Lord. You're in control, always have been, always will be. And so, Lord, we have this great opportunity this morning to pray to you. So, Lord, lead us in this time of prayer now as we will pray one at a time. And Lord, may we keep our prayers short as led by the Spirit, and just keep the touch of you, Holy Spirit, with us and empowering us and leading us and guiding us and teaching us to pray. And may we all agree as we are led by one Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.